Right, so this is Palm Sunday, and it is always a bit of a strange time for pastors because we have this Palm Sunday and then we go straight into Easter. And there used to be a lot of times whenever there was all these other services where you would get reminded about the stuff that happened in between, but we don't have many of those anymore. So we have to decide whether we're going to talk about the palm story or we're going to talk about the passion story. And we go back and forth, you know, we don't know what to do. I'm going to focus more on the palm side, but I'm going to encourage you about two things. There is a Good Friday service over at New Hanover this year that is the African Immigrant Church is hosting it and having some local pastors do different little sermonettes on the last words of Jesus. So that's happening on Good Friday at 7 o'clock at New Hanover. So that's one caveat. I get the passion part out. And then also, I would just encourage you, sometime this week, just pick up Luke 23 and just read that story. Just take a minute to sit with that story sometime this week, maybe even Good Friday, just to hear the passion story again. Right. We don't want to forget our own Maundy Thursday service either. That's in the bulletin probably. You can check that out. All right, so let us hear this Palm Sunday story as it's given to us in Luke. I'm going to start at the verse that I said I was going to start at in the bulletin. I think it was 35. Yeah. Then they brought it to Jesus. The donkey, that is. And after throwing their cloaks on it, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out." And as he came near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, "If you, even you, had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes." May the Lord grant us hearts and minds to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. I think the musical set was excellent today. And I just have to say that. All the songs were great. I am going to try something a little different this morning. So the one that most appealed to me was "I Tremble." So that's how I feel right now as I stand before you. Yeah, maybe not with all this theological weight that was in the song. But we have been reading this book by N.T. Wright called Lent for Everyone. Some of the folks have been reading that book, and we've been having a study on Thursday nights. And one of the things over and over again that people have said is that what they like about what he does in that book is that he takes time to place us inside the mind of one of the people in the story. So I was inspired by that this week, and I'm going to try to lead you through something like that with this story. I want to put you in the mind of some of the disciples there with Jesus. And I wrote it all out, and I didn't memorize it. So I'm just going to lead you in this. So just bear with me, okay? So I want you to imagine yourself there as they throw the blanket on the donkey and Jesus sits on top of it, and you're at the top of the Mount of Olives. All right? So the top of Mount of Olives, you're coming from Jericho. Jericho is down by the Dead Sea, like way, way down. So to get to the top of the Mount of Olives, you've already climbed this great height, and you're there at the top, and you're looking out, and you can see the valley and the city on the other side. And everybody gets excited. your body is excited because you've just climbed and now you're going to go down the hill. Your whole being is ready to sing. And people start to chant this song. This song that every time that you come to the city, every year when you come for Passover, they sing the same set of songs. So the song kicks up again because people see the city in the distance. They start saying, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And as they sing this song, marching into the city for the Passover holiday where you celebrate this great mighty act of God in saving the people in the Exodus, as they sing this song this time, Jesus in front of you, riding on this donkey, you start to remember all the mighty deeds that Jesus has done. It all starts coming back to you. All the powerful deeds. All the words of authority. And you think to yourself, if this is not the Messiah, if this is not the coming King, we might as well just march right back down the hill and throw ourselves in the Dead Sea. This has to be the Messiah. So you sing the song again. You sing the song, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And the healings that you've seen, they come back to your mind. The teaching with authority. The feeding of the 5,000. It's all there in your mind. You remember just a few days ago, he took Zacchaeus, this tax collector, and dragged him like a camel right to the eye of the needle. Amazing. You start to shout again, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And you believe it. Deep in your heart, you believe it. Because you have been changed and you have seen so many people changed and transformed. God has sent his King and you are on the path with him, marching into the city. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." But as you get closer, you have to stop. Because some Pharisees have gathered on the side of the road. And they say to Jesus, "Tell the people that you're not the King. Look at this group that you're with. What is it, like 70 people? Sinners? Fishermen? There's a prostitute over there? Who knows what else? This group of people you're bringing with us, you're not, how can you say that you're the King? How could you get their hopes up? Look at what you're doing." If they were talking to us, they would say, "Listen, the rulers of the world just marched in to Jerusalem with tanks. There's helicopters hovering overhead. And you're riding in on a tractor. There's destroyers out in the bay. There's battleships. And you're coming in on this fishing boat. Tell them that you're not the King. This is ridiculous. You're going to get yourself killed." And we hear this and we think, have we thought this through? Have we thought this through? Have we considered what this might mean? But Jesus says to them, "Even if I tell these people to be quiet, the rocks are going to cry out." So hearing that, we keep following and we keep shouting. We keep singing. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." And we're so excited. We're so filled with joy. But then we look up at Jesus and he's crying. What did we miss? What about the rocks shouting? What's the meaning of this? And then a murmur runs through the crowd and we hear something about how we didn't recognize the things that make for peace. We're going into the city that means city of peace. We're going into the city that is supposed to be the wellspring of God's shalom that spreads out all over the world. We're so filled with joy. We've seen all this stuff. What do you mean we didn't recognize the things that make for peace? So we march on, a little bit confused, a little bit silent. The phrase keeps sticking in our head, the things that make for peace. We begin to consider again the works of Jesus, all the powerful things that we've seen. We think about the healing of the centurion's child, the centurion, one of those bad old Romans, healed his child. We think about that traitor and thief, Zacchaeus, called him down and had supper with him. And here we are marching into this city. We have no weapons. We have no plan to defend ourselves. Remember the woman that was caught in adultery and they were going to stone her? And Jesus told them to drop their stones and said to her, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Remember when he told us to love our enemies? All of these memories start rushing back. We do realize that there's so few of us on this journey. And we recognize that the peace that he's talking about calls us to love our enemies. It's a peace that goes about tearing down walls of gender and ethnicity and class. And he's asking us not only just to tear them down and forget about them, but to actually go up next to people and hug them and eat dinner with them. It's a crazy peace that he's talking about. A peace that will not take up arms against enemies. A peace that rides into town on a donkey. A peace that will not quietly collaborate with oppressors, but will turn over tables and shout out about injustices. So it's not surprising that not that many people are following on the path of this kind of peace. And now that we begin to see what this might cost and what this might mean, we start to look around. We start to wonder if we're on the right path. We look up. Across the valley, we can see the city still. Maybe over to one side, you can see the crosses on the hill. Do we continue to follow? Even more, do we take time to remember all that we've seen and heard, all the deeds of power, all the time that we have seen lives transformed? Will we remember when the mercy of God broke into our lives like a light in the darkness? Will we remember all the times that we were at table with Jesus and we felt and saw God's presence? And will all this be enough for us to be witnesses to the King who calls us to this kind of peace in a world of perpetual war, this kind of mercy in a world that calls for retribution, this kind of forgiveness in a world that calls for revenge? Then we hear the refrain of this pilgrim song. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for God is good. The steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. The steadfast love of the Lord endures forever." We see Jesus riding on ahead of us. His course fixed because of his faithfulness to God, trusting that God's steadfast love will stay with him even through death. The Messiah whose birth was greeted with the call, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, peace on earth and goodwill to all." Jesus out in front of us to lead us into paths of peace, even paths that lead to the cross. The steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. So here we are on this journey with Jesus. Remember the deeds of reconciliation, of love, mercy, justice. Now they've all been planted in us by the Spirit of Christ. And as we see these deeds of power performed by the Spirit through us and through our friends and neighbors, Will we take up the shouting? Will we sing hosannas? As we look ahead, following Jesus through this Holy Week, knowing that the cross is there in the future, are we ready to risk a life of this kind of peace? Are we ready to listen to God speak to us? Are we ready to follow Christ even down a path that leads to the cross? Will we remember that the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever?